Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and I'm just going to read the last verse, so I'm going to tell you about a lot more than just the last verse. This is the punchline. 58 verses in this chapter, and this is the punchline. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. And this has got something to do with Mother's Day. You know, some wonderful, beautiful things about being a mother. I can see that from the outside. But there's also some huge challenges about being a mother. When you have a little baby, that little baby, you can't negotiate with that little baby. Did you notice that? Yeah. That baby, you can say, go to sleep. But that baby doesn't speak English. Did you notice that? Okay. So there is, having a little baby is a great growing up, waking up. And not just for women. I mean, when we had our first child, I can remember my mother still training me. I went in. This is before, this is during the time of cloth diapers. Does anybody even remember that time? Yeah, that was a grim time. I went in with my first diaper that I had changed. And it was number two. And I went in and I put that in the washing machine. My mother followed me right in. She said, "What did you do?" See, I knew she loved me from the tone of her voice. "What did you do?" I said, I put it in the washer. She said, "You've got to wash that out." I said, How do I wash that out?" She said, "You take it into the toilet and you wash it out." It was a grim, grim experience. And I thanked the Lord, my mother. She told me which end was up. Right? We praise the Lord. Now, our mothers comfort us when we need comfort, and our mothers make us uncomfortable when we need to be uncomfortable. Thank the Lord for our mothers. But there's a good reward for all those who serve and do all things, any kind of thing, in the name of the Lord. And it helps to know why we're here. It helps to know that God made us so that we could bring Him glory. It says in the book of Isaiah that He made His people for His glory. In other words, we know when we get up in the morning that what we're to do today is to bring glory to God. We don't have to wonder why we're here. That's such a great help. And this particular verse teaches us that because of the resurrection, that we can have a positive attitude towards work. And brothers and sisters, we're in the middle of a series on thriving. And unless you feel comfortable with, unless you can put your heart into your work, you're not going to thrive. Because you'll spend your life just waiting for Friday. And you'll spend your life dreading Monday. Now, not all work is laughs and giggles. And I know that. I knew that even as a young person when my grandfather sent me out into the garden to weed. And I couldn't tell the difference between the weeds and the things that he wanted kept alive. And I had a great feeling of uncertainty. And then when my grandfather caught up with me, a great feeling of anxiety. I know not everything you do is pleasant. But it doesn't have to be pleasant for you to know why you're doing it. It's done. We do everything to bring God glory. It says in the book of Colossians, everything that you do, do as unto the Lord. That's the good and the bad. We do it all for His glory. Now, this verse in 1 Corinthians is the conclusion of a lot of teaching about the resurrection. In the city of Corinth, which is in Greece, in the first century, there was a philosophy called Neoplatonism, which said, the Greeks thought that the physical is bad and the spiritual is good. This was the source, eventually became the source of what's called asceticism in the church, where the asceticism bought into the idea that the spiritual is good, the physical is bad. So they said, if you're really going to be spiritual, you've got to fast a lot. And if you're really going to be spiritual, then you can't marry, you've got to be celibate. And anything you can do, they used to do things, especially, this was the church that bought into asceticism or this denial of the physical. They used to do things like people would try to stand for 6 months as an act kind of to show how godly they were. They were going to deny their desire to sit down. The Bible's teaching is that when God made the world, he said, I made the world, I made it good. And I'll say as exhibit A, an argument for the word of God, behold the lilacs. Huh? Point one. Point two, behold the pond. God made the world and he made it good. And the church at Corinth was in trouble because they were denying the physical resurrection, not of Jesus particularly, but they didn't want to have a physical body. They thought the physical is bad, and so they were wanting to be disembodied spirits. And so the book of 1 Corinthians is in this 15th chapter, it's making a long argument saying, look, the resurrection is central to our faith. We will have a body. It will be an eternal body. If there is no resurrection, then Christ is not raised from the dead. And if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, you are still in your sin and without hope in this world. But Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who fall asleep. And then he goes into the discussion, some teaching about the resurrection, where he talks about what kind of body will we have. And he makes this argument in the middle of the chapter, which says, you know, there's different kinds of flesh. Like birds have one kind of flesh and fish have another kind of flesh. And it's not saying that on resurrection day, we're going to say, holy smokes, I'm a fish. He's saying that the body that we have is going to be different. You think, oh, is that good? You keep reading and you find out, yes, it's good. The body that is interred, the body that is buried, is corruptible. What is raised is incorruptible. What is buried is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is buried is mortal. What is raised is immortal. And it spells out what the change is going to be. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then, so that's the background. Because of this hope that we have, we know that the least thing that we do is for God's glory and has eternal consequence. It transforms the way we think about work. I used to, when I went to college, I had grown up in a home where we were on the farm and we had to work whether we wanted to or not. So I kind of learned how to work at the end of the wood line, by which I mean when we put in our firewood down in the cellar, when my father had it all ready to go, we made a chain of boys. My folks had five boys, and we also borrowed a cousin. And we might have borrowed a few neighbors' kids too, I don't know. But we had the wood pile outside, and then we had the, and I was down in the cellar, and my brother, who was on the feed end by the wood pile, he was almost perpetually in a bad mood. But he was a big boy at 16, he was 6'4", and he could send that wood down the wood line like a shot. So I was on the receiving end at about 9 years old, going, trying to stay alive. So that's kind of where I learned how to work. So when I got to college and I needed to get a job, I got a job in the as a dishwasher for the cafeteria, and they had like a factory dishwasher set up. And so when it was my turn to take the trays off the racks to put them on the conveyor belt, I was like, I knew this story. It's like the wood pile. Just feed them. Get that thing emptied, more things in. And the guy that's supposed to, you know, he takes one rack out and brings a full rack in. And I was in, and then I got promoted, and I got promoted to Little Slop. Doesn't that sound like a great promotion? Little Slop, you take the little plates and the little bowls and you rinse them under a faucet that goes into a trough down to the garbage disposal. And then I got promoted to Big Slop, where you take the big plates and you rinse the chicken bones off and they go down. That garbage disposal has come into my dreams many times. That was an awesome and gruesome thing. And I would take and pile the plates up there, and then I got so I promoted again, and I got so I could put the plates on the conveyor that went through the dishwasher. And then I got to be at the high end of the totem pole, and I took the plates, the clean plates and dishes and stuff, and I stacked them up ready to go out. And I was just as happy in any of that because it was easier than the wood pile. And so they made me crew chief. And I discovered when I was crew chief, see, I was responsible. I could do any of those jobs. But I was also responsible to get the high school kids who were there who didn't want to work, to get them to work. And you know what was easier? The wood pile was easier. Yeah. We'd be there doing our dishwasher thing, the whole system, and all of a sudden there'd be no more trays with plates on it. And I'd go out hunting out through the cafeteria looking for the guy. He's supposed to run the racks of trays, full racks into the thing, empty racks out to the thing. He's supposed to be doing that. And he's out at the cafeteria having another glass of chocolate milk. And I know he'd had four more because I'd caught him out there. In one evening, I'd be out there four times saying, "Come on," and I'd grab a rack and he'd grab a rack, and that's the only rack he'd get until I went out and got him again. And you know, people that don't put their heart into their work are miserable because they got to be there. And you know, brothers and sisters, if we know that when we do the smallest thing, it can be for God's pleasure, it takes the drudgery and makes it worship. Now, I've folded a few bulletins in my life. Anybody else ever folded a bulletin? Yes, I see that hand. And it used to be one of the rosters here at the church that people would volunteer to fold the bulletins. I appreciate the fact that people would volunteer. But you know, people would drive 20 minutes to get here and 20 minutes to get home, and it takes 7.5 minutes to fold a bulletin. And I said, you know, I can fold a bulletin. And so when I fold a bulletin, I think I'm saving somebody 40 minutes of driving. Right? That's a good feeling. Now, yesterday, did you see your little insert? You had pictures on there. And one of the pictures, I've got one right here. This is a picture of Lexi. That's Wanda's granddaughter. And this is a picture of, anybody know who that is without looking? Clayton Blackstone and his wife Hazel. He's our new superintendent of the region. For those of you, it might make more sense. He's like our new bishop. And I put him in our flip chart because he's part of our family too. When you're going through to pray for people, pray for Clayton. His job is like herding cats. So he needs all the prayer he can get. But when I was doing this, I had a thought. I thought, how am I going to get this so the people don't lose the little pictures? I thought, I'll staple them in there. And so I had my normal system, bulletin, insert, fold, insert, and then I had to figure this thing out. And I thought, oh, this is going to be cumbersome. And I set it down, and I fooled around, and it became like a game for me. How few movements can I do? Clip. And after about 10 bulletins in, I just praising the Lord. Clip. Clip. You think, it doesn't take, small things amuse small minds. But if you put your heart into it, you do it for praise. Even if you're cleaning up after yourself. You know, Noelle's got her trash basket and I've got my trash basket. And I like my trash basket empty. So I do it. Sometimes I don't feel like doing it. I empty it because it needs to be done. And then I empty it because it's my trash basket. But ultimately, I want to do even that to please the Lord. See? It's a life of worship we have the option to do. And I know that work is not always easy. And there's some work you can't do. You can't do sinful work. Like the prostitute is not going to be able to work to please the Lord. Or I have been in a used car dealership where I came out of the used car dealership and I thought, I'm glad I don't have that guy's job. Because he lied to me 6 different ways while just that little time I was in there, he lied to me. I went into one car dealership and I saw a used car and it looked in pretty good shape, but it was an old car. And I looked and it said something like 27,000 miles. And I said to the car dealer, is that 27 or is that 127,000? Oh, he said, that's 27,000 original miles. And I looked down inside the thing, and the brake pedal, all the rubber was worn completely off the brake pedal. I thought, man, I'm glad I don't have that guy's job. He feels like he's got to lie for a living. What kind of a... You want to go to work on Monday if you thought you had to lie for a living? What a horrible feeling, especially when you get to the end of Revelation, it says all those that practice and love lying are going to have their part in the lake of fire. And I think, I'm glad I don't have that guy's job for a living. So there's some things we got to do things. If we're going to do things to bring glory to God, we got to do good things that serve other people. But that does not always mean easy things. And that's part, we've done a big study on 1 Peter last year. For those of you that weren't here, 1 Peter is all about how to suffer for the name of Christ. If we understand what life is, see, it goes against American teaching or Western teaching currently is that we're here to have fun, that's why we're here. If you're not having fun, you've got no reason. And according to 1 Peter, we're here to bring glory to God and we live for Christ. And the good times and the bad, they all serve a function to glorify the name of Christ. Noelle and I and Emily watched the movie Chernobyl recently. Have you, any of you seen that movie? It's a hard movie to watch. They had this meltdown in Ukraine during the Soviet era. And they sent firefighters up to try to control, to try to fight a fire that was a nuclear meltdown and they didn't know it. And they sprayed, I think, 2 million gallons of water on the nuclear fire trying to put it out. And that made a lot of steam and a lot of radioactive water. Then after a while, they covered the melted reactor. They covered it with sand and boron. They flew helicopters over and they dumped sand in there, dumped more sand on there, dumped more sand. So it would at least stop spewing radioactive ash and gas up into the atmosphere. And they finally got it all covered. And when they got it all covered, then the temperature of the melted reactor started to increase. That heat had nowhere to go, and it went up and up. And the scientists figured out that in a little while, it was going to burn right through the concrete container. And they figured out that when they had like 2 or 3 days before it would melt through the concrete container. And when it hit the 2 million gallons of water that they'd sprayed on the reactor that was in the holding pond underneath, that it would be a massive explosion that would be 2 to 4 megatons explosion. It would blow up not only that city, it would blow up the 3 other reactors that were right there. And they said it would make Europe uninhabitable for 20,000 years. So the managers called in all the technicians from all 4 nuclear power plants there in Chernobyl. And there was a group about the size of this congregation of technicians. And they said, we need 3 volunteers to go underneath the meltdown reactor and wade through the radioactive water, through all the labyrinth of corridors, and find your way to the drain for that tank. And we've got to drain the tank before the reactor melts through its container. And 3 men... Three men volunteered. They knew it was a death sentence. That was a horrible day. They did it. They drained the tank at the cost of their lives. It was a horrible day, but they never did anything more important in their whole life. You understand? Just because something is hard doesn't mean it isn't good. Sometimes, I thank the Lord, that's the worst case I could think of. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, our work is hard. But if it has purpose and meaning, we know how to do the hard job. And after a while, we get to be dish crew chief. That's a sad thing. May the Lord guide us and help us and strengthen us to understand why we're here and make the most of every day and seek to be a blessing to our families, to seek to be a blessing at work, to look at our customers that come through and to want to bless them and help them and to be a servant to all that we know.